Clustered conversations. Clustered conversations. By Weka.
Hi, and welcome to Clustered Conversations. I'm Bob Back.
And I'm Josh Hampton.
And we're two of the SEs here at Weka. So you may be asking yourselves, what is Weka? Well, Josh, what's your idea? What is Weka? What can we tell
them? What is Weka? Pretty sure Weka is a little bird in New Zealand, isn't it? A little tiny thing. It's kind of annoying.
It is, but you know, it keeps both feet on the ground, so it's it survives well and runs and is always available, which is like what we are. Well, I guess the best way to explain what Weka is, you know, is we're a file system. We're a modern file system built on modern hardware and technology, right? So we take advantage of the flash technology out there, the memory, the new CPUs, networking. What else we do?
Well, we're more than just a simple file system. We are more of a data platform, even as we kind of move forward into the future, as we offer sort of different paradigms and different ways to access data in methods that were previously unheard of at speeds that were previously impossible.
Right. I mean, we support POSIX, which is a simple way, right? That's using our agent. We can get up to, on a 100 gig network, 11 gigabytes a second to each client up until we hit the aggregate throughput of the cluster. Or on a 200 gigabit system, we get to 22 gigabytes a second. And then if you throw in crazy things like GPU Direct, which do RDMA straight to the GPU memory, we can get to the hundreds of gigabytes a system or millions of IOPS, right? Absolutely. It makes it a lot of fun. What are the protocols we're working with?
Well, we also work with NFS, SMB. We have a S3 as well. And we have got a great CSI plugin that ties directly into the back end of the POSIX driver and does really a lot of excellent integration for your Kubernetes and K8s workflows.
A lot of customers do high-performance compute and big data using NFS. And for us, NFS is our slowest protocol. And
that's
kind of it throws people for a loop. So we can get to gigabytes a second of throughput with NFS, but it doesn't ever get close to the IOPS or the throughput we can get with our POSIX.
No, and usually what I've seen is about at least or at most one quarter, and latencies are significantly higher as well. I mean, our latencies on POSIX with PCI Gen 4 gear, what, down to 70, 90 millisecond, right? 100, 120 milliseconds, sorry, micro. I always do that, milliseconds, not milliseconds. I always have to change the number of zeros I'm thinking about with Weka, which is kind of fun. Microsecond, 70 to 90 microsecond writes, 100 to 120 microsecond reads. It's latencies that you would typically reserve for like local storage.
Right, and so the two words that are difficult for me to say sometimes is microseconds, because they came from the file services world, and milliseconds was fast for us.
Exactly. Right?
And then I have to say gigabytes a second when I'm used to saying gigabits, right? Mm-hmm. So it's you have to kind of change your context. So anything we're saying gigabytes per second, we're actually saying gigabytes per second.
And it'll be.
The one that freaks people out the most is I think our second fastest protocol is SMB, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
We can drive throughput through SMB that's ridiculously high. I've got customers that are able to get to 7 to 10 gigabytes a second using multi-channel to a single client, right? Which is great in the media entertainment world workflows.
Yeah, I was about to mention that. I remember seeing those frame test benchmarks that you had run with a certain customer there in Southern California. And seeing 10 and change gigabyte per second to a Windows client running SMB, that's amazing.
So I will serve you data. What's nice about this, I think that's we don't mention enough, is that it's the same data whether it's coming through NFS, SMB, S3, or our POSIX client. So you can read and write using whichever combination you want.
Absolutely. All the data, all the time.
So let's see. It's a good file system. It's got cool protocols. Must be hard to install.
You would think. One would assume. I mean, you look at other kind of clustered file systems, and especially in the high performance space, things like, you know, Lustre, GPFS, BGFS, Cluster, et cetera. And yeah, I mean, you need big teams of people to run those things. I mean, I used to admin some pretty big GPFS clusters over at a biotech I used to work at. And I remember even getting IBM to help install, like, because we needed their help to install the cluster and the file system there. And yeah, it was, they had so many config files, so many NSDs, so many configs, and like, oh, which nomenclature am I using? And is all of my syntax correct? And let's hope and pray that the first time I do this, it works. And of course, it never does. It's always the second, third, probably more like fifth time you actually try and reinstall it. That's when you finally get it just right. And that's when it works. And please, whatever you do, don't touch it from there.
Well, when I came to Weka, I came here with 10 years of management experience at another file system company, right? So I'd spent most of my time not being on a keyboard. So I came in here as an individual contributor, helping install things and configuring POCs and doing testing. And within the first week, I was installing Weka on my own again, right? Using, especially in the cloud. The cloud, we make it really easy with the CloudFormation script. So it just goes out there, it requests the resources, provisions them out, installs and configures it, and you're ready to go from the moment, about, what do you say, 15 minutes to 30 minutes, depending on the size of the cluster you're trying to build.
Yeah, size in the cluster and kind of the speed that your hyperscaler feels like going at that day.
That's
true. The download of the code is realistically the longest part.
Right. So once it's ready to go, you're able to store data in the cloud. That was a really easy one. That's the easiest button. And then when I learned to install it on site, the hardest thing I had to do was configure the network. Right, getting networking. It's always a network.
Always.
So getting networking set up, getting the switch set up, getting the IP addresses set up, getting the Jumbo frame set up. And then I installed Weka. I was like, that's it? I mean, it really was install.sh and then a set of scripts to say, hey, here's the hosts of the cluster, here's the drives I want to use, here's the file, the network cards I want to use, and there's a cluster.
Absolutely. I mean, I've gotten to the point where even in, you know, hyperscaler sort of situations where I've got, you know, hundreds of clients that I'm building out, I can build that cluster from a single shell script in 5 minutes.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
And then rebuild it in 5 minutes.
Well, you and I built that for the customer where they could take the cluster in Amazon. What happens since the drives that we use are NVMe? They're ephemeral. So every time they shut down the cluster, the drives disappear. So we wrote a script so that the customer can back up their data to S3, have a snapshot copy up in S3, tear down the cluster completely, rebuild it on Monday, and run this script, and it'll pull the data out of the S3 bucket, rehydrate it onto the NVMe, and they're running like nothing ever happened Friday.
Yeah, and realistically, the best part about that rehydration is that it's only rehydrates on read. Right. So if you had uploaded data, if you had snapshotted that data up there, and you never touch it again, it'll happily stay up there in object forever.
Or you can actually force it to come back too.
You touch it. Yeah, that's true. Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, if you know you're going to have a big workload coming in and you don't want to wait for that time to first byte from the object store, yeah, absolutely. Hit that recall.
Well, I know a lot of file servers are trying to go to the cloud. The nice thing, you know, that was nice coming in here is we were cloud native, right? Developed in the cloud. Same software, exactly the same binaries, whether I'm running in the cloud or on site. And you and I run in three clouds now, right?
Yeah. Soon to be more.
Yeah.
Soon to be all of them.
We tested them out. We got them up and running. They work just fine, right? And it's the exact same code. We don't change it. And that's on-site as well. Like if I install on one of our OEM platforms or a white box that the customer happens to have, it's the exact same code, right?
Yeah. That's actually one of the fun things for me about doing sort of POCs and just testing out the system. If the customer happens to have some servers laying around that they're not using, so long as they have an NVMe in them and a network card that's, you know, suitable to the task, more than happy to install on that and show you what kind of performance you can get from a system that is entirely not optimized to be running as a storage solution, but will still beat out performance-wise, you know, a lot of competitors out there. Like have a lot of very big eyes from customers when they run some benchmarks on us versus on their legacy storage, and they wonder like, wait, hold on, this was like the gear you lent me network cards to use so I could get this to work, and why is this faster than my like huge existing NAS cluster? It's like, well, it's kind of how we are. It's great.
Well, one of my customers when I first got here, they were testing BGFS and they bought a 20 node cluster for them, and they had 10 of them with storage class memory to run a metadata, or a couple of them to run storage class memory to run metadata on. And so they gave us 10 of them and they kept 10 and reload BGFS on it. And we ran the IO500 across both of them. And they called me in a week later and asked us to explain why we were cheating. Because we were 30 times faster on the hard right portion of the IO500 test. And I said, I can't tell you. Let me bring Shimon and explain to you how this exactly works. And Shimon is our CTO, and he came in and had that conversation with them. And they run a 20 node cluster in one site and a 10 node cluster in another site of Weka.
There we go.
Right.
Perfect.
It just works.
Yeah, it does.
So we kind of talked about the flexibility. Right. We can run the cloud. We can run on site. We can run Converge. However the customer wants to run it. Right. Whatever your infrastructure requires, we can make it run in. And we've got every one of those, the multiple colors of the rainbow of Weka running all over the place.
Yeah.
I think one of my favorite demos that you do is with the object store where you trick the customer. right?
Oh, my little prestige moment.
Yes.
That is a fun one to do. Yeah, that is fun. It requires just a little bit of prep, but man, when you get it right,
yep,
it's good.
So, you know, why don't you go through the story of how that works?
Oh, yeah, totally. So, so had a request to do a demo in Amazon, and they specifically wanted to see, the customer wanted to see what performance looked like on to our backend object store. So we can tier data from the flash tier to S3 object. And conveniently in Amazon, they happen to have a fairly substantial S3 objects here that you can tap into. So the way that I did this was, when we typically do a demo, we'll use a little demo tool or benchmarking tool that we call Weka Tester. And essentially what it is, it's a wrapper on FIO, really just makes life really easy to show performance on reads and writes at different sizes and latencies and et cetera, just by running a single command. So I ran the test once on 1 meg reads, and that created the test files for me. I then told Weka to go ahead and purge that data to S3 and get it off of the flash. I then remounted my clients with an option called Object Direct, where it will not touch the flash tier. It will not recall data from object to flash and keep it there. It will only do cold reads from the object tier. So I had, two, three, maybe it was four clients that were working in there. And I just had them running on a loop doing that 1 meg read from object only. And I wasn't even using prefetch. Mm-hmm. So I was guaranteeing to myself that I knew that all of these reads were definitely only ever coming from the objects tier. Running through the standard demo, I show all the functions and features and talk about how you can manage the cluster and admin the cluster. And one of the nice things about our UI is that right on the front page, the first thing you see is the performance of the cluster, performance right. and health of the cluster. It's right there on the left side. You see your reads and writes, operations, you see your speeds, you see your latencies. So they were seeing, some number of gigabytes per second. I think it was doing like 2 or 3 gigabyte per second on reads, and just kept sitting there doing 2 or 3 gigabyte per second on reads. And, nobody would typically think much of that. Oh, it's a cluster up in the cloud. A couple of gigabytes per second. That seems pretty reasonable for what cloud-based storage should be able to do.
Right.
So, going through and get to the point where I'm about to start talking about tiering and the object stores and how you configure it. And I say, so here's how you do your object stores, and you would add one here and blah, 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 blah. Just, the quick administrava of how do you actually make this work? And then the question of, pose the question of, well, what kind of performance can you see when you're, say, reading data that's been tiered off to the S3? I click back to system overview that brings you right back to that first login page and go, the performance you've been seeing here this entire time has been cold reads from S3. Mm-hmm. Everything you've been seeing has been reading from S3. Nothing has been from the flash tier. And pause a moment. And at that time, that's not the best part of the story, though. Mm-hmm. The best part is I do that, and apparently there's a reaction in the room. I don't know this because at that exact moment, Zoom decided to crash on my laptop and dump me out. So I completely missed the reaction.
And they're now a happy customer as well. So it really is kind of fun. I mean, when I came here, I actually didn't believe what I saw, because it was so out of the ordinary of what I've been used to. I've been working in storage since the 90s and file systems between Veritas and NetApp, right? Lots and lots of file systems. And to see something here that did this kind of performance in the way that it did it was just unreal.
Yeah.
And how easy it is to manage, right? That's the other part that really kind of blows me away.
That's what sold me on it. That's what really got me over here was both it does actually deliver on what it promises.
Yeah.
And just the possibilities behind it. Like, what can you do with this? How easy it is to use. I mean, I come from a background like you in storage. I mean, I was a field engineer, became a storage admin for 4.5-5 years, doing, huge parallel clusters in like GPFS and Isilon and NetApp and 3PAR and VNX and some Symmetrix and et cetera.
Yeah.
Then went and got scalped out of that to start as an SE. In Dell's UDS groups, Isilon ECS, whatever, and in working there and, getting kind of up to speed. And then I hear about this Weka thing and somebody reaches out to me, headhunter, like, hey, do you want to take a look at this? And I'm like, yeah, sure, whatever. At the time I wasn't looking for a change. I was happy where I was. But kind of a thing I do, and this is maybe good career advice for everybody, is never stop interviewing.
Oh, heck yeah.
even if like even if you have absolutely no intention of changing jobs, go on the interview just so you can keep your skills up. Yeah. So you know how to sort of be, you know, free flowing and talk to everybody and talk about yourself a little bit, which is sometimes easy and sometimes hard to do because sometimes you feel like you got to self-censor on, well, what I talk about the career, what not, blah, 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 blah. But you get, it's a skill that you have to develop and work on, right?
Absolutely.
So learn about Weka and see how it works. And I go like, hold on a second. This is actually really, really interesting. And that's what got me hooked was the ease of use and watching it just come up and work and run and deliver levels of performance that you would just not expect to see.
So those two things kind of blew me away working here. The first one was the ease of installation, right? And I also didn't believe that it worked the way that it did because none of it made sense from my file system background. The other one is I worked with NetBackup for years, and one of the biggest complaints there was the agent, right? Every time that you had a new version, you had to update the agent and all the clients. And once I heard that we had an agent, I started getting the hives and getting all worked up. And then they explained to me how they update agents, and I was shocked. Mm-hmm. It was brilliant, right? Yeah. The idea is I mount the file system. The file system queries the cluster and says, hey, do I have the latest agent? I don't. Can you give it to me, please? And so it updates every time it mounts.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, like such a vast, like just a massive difference from other parallel files that have agents where got to make sure you have the right version of agent, the right patch level of the agent. You got to make sure that you didn't accidentally click on the wrong architecture for the agent, even if you downloaded the right version, and then like get all that installed. And then you got to make sure you actually do the proper installation itself correctly.
Right.
Otherwise, it's just not going to work. And then sometimes you do the installation, but you skipped a step or missed a step. And oh gosh, you realize that the client was still attached to that cluster, but now it just did something funky. And because a lot of those other parallel file systems, the clients themselves become an integral part of the cluster. When that client has a problem, the whole cluster has a problem. And that's never fun in an upgrade situation. The last thing you want, and I had this happen to me during upgrades, sitting there going through step by step by step, watching the upgrade happen. And okay, let's hit go on this command that's going to upgrade the code on like one of the backend systems. And the whole thing pauses. You go like, okay, I'm expecting a bit of a pause. It's changing versions over. This is normal. Half an hour later, it's still paused. Going like, this is taking a bit longer than it should. This is not, something's wrong here.
Yeah. We became kind of, what's it called? Complacent or kind of like, we've been, complacent. No, not complacent. We've been, what's it called when you give your kids too much stuff?
Spoiled.
Yes, we've been spoiled here. In that the clusters are able to upgrade so easily, right? I actually sit there and stare at it, and it takes like 2 minutes to upgrade, and there's this pause where I'm waiting for the container to switch over, and I start getting anxiety after 30 seconds because I'm like, it's not done. And then at 35 seconds, it starts going, and I'm like, oh, thank God. But I expect it because I'm so used to everything being so instantaneous with the product that, you know, that little 30-second pause freaks me out. But it's a...
Right. I'm sitting the same way. Yeah, totally
but
the
it
same
works.
Way. It's just an amazing kind of switch over in the way you think and how you think about even basic admin tasks. Like it's just straightforward.
Well, I know you and I are both guilty of this. We're like, we're only getting 106 gigabytes a second. I mean, come
on. There's something wrong. We got to be able to do better than this. Come on. I'm not recommending the solution. It's only 106 for a client. Come on.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. It's the level of speed is, it's just at another level.
Yeah.
And it completely changes what you consider a baseline of what good performance is.
Yep. And one of these days we'll talk about the encryption piece because that I just learned a little more about that and it's like it blew me away. So
the encryption part could probably be an entire episode to itself.
Yeah. So I can't imagine people want to listen to us much longer.
We'll save some more for later
And we're gonna have some more interviews with people. We'll bring some of the other guys at Weka that we enjoy working with that can give us more insight into the product and how it works and where it came from and where it's going. So this is just our chance to kind of say hi, introduce you guys to us. So that for Weka, I'm Bob.
I'm Josh.
So have a wonderful day. Thanks for coming to our clustered conversation.
Thanks everybody.
Take care.